We are God's masterpiece in creation, designed to worship in beauty.
Our Heavenly Father, we are your humble servants, we are also your children, and we thank you for the way that you teach us from your word every day. And I thank you that we can draw close to you boldly because of the cleansing blood of Jesus that washes all of our dirt and sins away and makes us clean and righteous and acceptable in your sight. So we want to learn more about you, Lord, and we want to become more like you every day in every way. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Galatians 4, verse 21 to 31, MSG.
Tell me now, you who have become so enamored with the law, have you paid close attention to that law? Abraham, remember, had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. The son of the slave woman was born by human plotting. The son of the free woman was born by God's promise. This illustrates the very thing we are dealing with now. The two births represent two ways of being in relationship with God. One is from Mount Sinai in Arabia. It corresponds with what is now going on in Jerusalem, a slave life, producing slaves as offspring. This is the way of Hagar. In contrast to that, there is an invisible Jerusalem, a free Jerusalem. She is our mother. This is the way of Sarah. Remember that Isaiah wrote, "Rejoice, barren woman who bears no children. Shout and cry out, woman who has no birth pangs, because the children of the barren woman now surpass the children of the chosen woman." Isn't it clear, friends, that you, like Isaac, are children of promise? In the days of Hagar and Sarah, the child who came from faithless plotting, that's Ishmael, harassed the child who came, empowered by the Spirit, from the faithful promise, that's Isaac. Isn't it clear that the harassment you are now experiencing from the Jerusalem heretics follows that old pattern? There is a scripture that tells us what to do. Expel the slave mother with her son, for the slave son will not inherit with the free son. Isn't that conclusive? We are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
When we are born physically, we are born into the natural world and our nature is carnal. When we are born again, we are born spiritually and we are now part of the supernatural. So we are no longer carnal, we are now spiritual and we are part of the supernatural. The New Jerusalem referred to in this passage is God's kingdom. And as it says in the Lord's Prayer, let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You'll find that in Luke 11, verse 2 in KJV. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the ideal is for God's will to be done in our lives just as much as it's done in heaven, which is all the time there. But here on earth, we are still dealing with imperfection, and that's why God's will isn't done as much as it should be, and bad things still happen. That's because of the free will that God gave us, and if you remember, I've mentioned it before, the free will is totally necessary when there's love involved, because God loves us so much that he paid the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price for our freedom, for our life. And yet if he'd wanted robots, he could have made robots. He didn't. He wanted humans that he could have a relationship with. And that's where love comes in, and that's why we have the free choice to love him back. Because love that is forced isn't love. Love that is freely given, now that's true love. And we want to love him back. We want to give him back as much love as we can. Our love can never match his love in size and quantity and quality. But we still love him back within our little limited human resources. So about the kingdom of God, well, what is it? Romans 14 verse 17 tells us this in the TPT. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. So the kingdom is not about earthly things, it's about the spiritual things, and the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are very important in our everyday lives. Now you'll notice that there's enmity between the supernatural and the natural. When Isaac and Ishmael were youngsters, There was sibling rivalry. Ishmael was about 14 years older than Isaac, because Abraham was about 86 when he became a father for the first time of Ishmael, by his second wife being Hagar, the slave girl, and he was 100 years old when he became father for the second time by Sarah when Isaac was born. So there's about a 14-year age gap between the two boys. Jesus tells us that what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. That's when he was talking to Nicodemus at night. That's in John 3 verse 6. The TPD puts it this way. For the natural realm only gives birth to things that are natural, but the spiritual realm gives birth to the supernatural life. This statement came hot on the heels of another statement that shocked Nicodemus. It's in John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can even perceive God's kingdom, they must first experience a rebirth. That rebirth is our birth into the spiritual realm, into God's family, into God's kingdom. Now, every scripture is God breathed, that is in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, TPT puts it this way. God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture, for it is God breathed. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. And sometimes when I read some things in the Old Testament, I think, gosh, why is that in the Old Testament? Some of it's not so nice. Some people did some interesting things, and some people did some unwise things. And yet, it's all put in there for our instruction so that we can learn from other people's mistakes, and we can learn from other people's faithfulness and the right things they did as well, not just the wrong things that they did. So this story about Hagar and Sarah, well, she was still Sarai at that time, comes from the Old Testament. And remember, in their culture, a woman who could not bear children was highly embarrassed about the situation and saw it as a matter of shame. So when Hagar became pregnant with Ishmael, she despised Sarai. And Sarah responded by being nasty. And Hagar ran away into the desert, and an angel came and told her to go back and be humble. So that happened, and later on, this is when we get to the birth of Isaac, and that's where
Ishmael
takes up mocking his younger half-brother. Of course, when this mockery was going on during the party, Sarai became very upset, and she complained to Abraham, and she said, you've got to get rid of this slave woman and her son. And he was upset about that because, I mean, it's also his son, so he wasn't too keen on the idea. But God did say, no, the slave woman and her son must leave, because my promise to you to have descendants like the stars and like the sea sand is going to come through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And therefore, Ishmael must not be part of the household, so that it could be mistaken as the source of the promise. Now, you might think that's a bit unkind. Hagar was loaded up with food and water and sent off into the desert, and she became desperate when they ran out of that food and water, and she just thought that they were both going to die there in the desert. But an angel came to talk to her and said, don't worry, you're going to be okay, and showed her a well, and where there's a well, there are people, because, you know, people dig wells. And she obviously moved in with those people, and Ishmael grew up to be an archer, skilled archer, and made a life for himself there. And yeah, part of the Middle East is made from his descendants. Now, even though in their culture a barren woman was embarrassed about her barrenness, this is not what God thinks about it. If you look at Isaiah 54 verse 1, it says this in the TPT. Rejoice for the singing, you barren one, you who have never given birth, burst into a song of joy and shout. You who have never been in labor, for the deserted wife will have more children than the married one, says Yahweh. So even when we mess up and do things that are not according to God's will, and consequences happen, and yeah, in this case a child was born, being Ishmael, even in that instance, God takes care of our, quote, mistake, unquote. Hagar and Ishmael were not abandoned in the desert. They were taken care of. They were no longer part of Abraham's household, but they were still taken care of by God amongst the people that they went to live with. And I suppose because she's Egyptian, she found an Egyptian wife for her son Ishmael. Now, the book of Isaiah has a lot of warnings in it because the children of Israel had turned away from God, but Isaiah 54 is almost like Psalm 91. It is such an encouraging piece of scripture. You want to read it just to realize how loving and how beautiful God is. But I'm not going to read the whole chapter or even half of it, but I encourage you to take the time to look over Isaiah 54 and just be encouraged by what you read there. If you've ever wondered what the purpose is of your life, why were you born? We read about it in Genesis 1. I'll just read a few verses. Verses 1 to 2. When God created the heavens and the earth was completely formless and empty, with nothing but darkness draped over the deep. God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. So it would seem that God's Spirit was ready and rearing to go, just couldn't wait to go ahead and command light to be, and all the other things, which culminated on day 6. We read that in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make a man and a woman in our image to be like us. Let them reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over the creatures that creep along the ground, and over the wild animals." So God created man and woman and shaped them with his image inside them. In his own beautiful image he created his masterpiece. Yes, male and female he created them. And God blessed them in his love, saying, "Reproduce and be fruitful. Populate the earth and subdue it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every creature that lives on earth." And God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant growing throughout the earth, vegetables and every fruit-bearing tree with its seed within itself. They will be your food. They will also be food for every animal and bird, and every creature that moves on the ground, every creature with the breath of life." And so it happened. God surveyed all he had made and said, "I love it," for it pleased him greatly. Evening gave way to morning, day 6. So you can see that we were created to bring enjoyment to our Heavenly Father. That loving relationship that we can have is the reason why we were born. It's the reason why we were created. And so we were designed to be in fellowship with God. We were designed to live forever in heaven with him in that beautiful, beautiful place. We were not designed for hell. Hell was made for the devil and his demons because they were cast out of heaven, and that's where they're landing up. Humans were never meant to land up in hell. And if you're wondering why I'm so sure of this, it's in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, TPT. This means that, contrary to man's perspective, the Lord is not late with his promise to return, as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience toward you, because he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so those who say that predestination means that God picks and chooses those he wants with him and those he wants to not be with him, they got it wrong. God wants everybody to be with him. But because of his love, that's why he's given us free will, and that's why some do choose not to love him back, and those are the ones that he knows are not going to choose him. And so when the Bible said he predestined us for stuff, it means he knows that we're going to respond to his love and love him back, and that's when he predestines us to live in that love forever. So with all that love going on, let's shine our lights.